Welcome back to the Armchair Trader podcast. And this week we have Steve Palmer joining us from Alpha North Asset Management in Canada. Steve was actually very kind to sit on a panel that we hosted back in November as part of our Beyond the Channel event in London. So some of the delegates there got to hear him talking a bit about the Canadian small caps market. But we have him on the podcast today to go into a little bit more depth on that and also share some of his knowledge with a wider audience. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Thanks, Stuart. Good to be on.
So firstly, I thought it might be worth you just explaining a little bit more about the fund you manage and particularly the strategy that you follow, just as an introduction so people know what area of the market it is that you specialize in.
Sure. The Alpha North Partners Fund was launched in 2007. It's a long bias, small cap Canadian equity fund with a Canadian focus. So we often look at companies less than 100 million in market cap. We take a longer term approach. We try to get in early on situations where we can do multiples on our money.
And when we talk about Canadian stock market, obviously some people won't be very familiar with that market. How does that measure up in terms of the types of companies or types of sectors you're likely to see in Canada? Is it biased towards any particular area, or is it relatively diverse? And is it more small caps versus large caps?
Well, the Canadian small cap market is more biased towards resources than you'd find elsewhere in the world. It used to be that 80% of the market was resource. It's now broadened out a little bit. It's closer to probably 60 to 65% resource. The benchmark that we use is a TSX Venture Index, which has approximately 1,800 listings. And there's another index that's more recently created several years ago called the Canadian Securities Exchange, and that has over 800 listings.
So there's still quite a strong resources bias in the market, and I guess that's kind of a legacy from the fact that Canada's economy was very and is still very resources rich in that respect.
That's right, yeah.
And so when you're looking at the market, obviously you specialize in the small caps. What are the sectors that you yourself like at the moment on the TSX?
Well, given the kind of state of the market, it's been in a 3-year downtrend. It's diverged from the large caps. It's not the large cap markets are been hitting new all-time highs in North America. The TSX Venture Index is near a low. It peaked in early 2021, and since that time, it's gone down by over 50%. So it's just not far off the bottom. I think there's going to be renewed interest as investors seek areas that have not moved and then take profits in some of the extended areas and get back into small cap.
You yourself, I would say, you must therefore specialize quite a bit in things like mining stocks and oil stocks, because there's quite a proliferation of those on that market.
Yeah, our fund is diversified, so I try to keep a good diversification across all sectors because they are very cyclical. So yeah, it's typically balanced, I would say, half resources and half technology, biotech, consumer products.
And when we, if you look at, for example, the small cap space in Canada, there's a lot of mining companies in there. A lot of them seem to have been incredibly heavily oversold when you actually look at some of the assets that they've got in some of these smaller companies. And some people I speak to, fund managers and analysts, when they're talking about Canadian miners, they're saying that this is like a once in a generation buying opportunity for these kinds of stocks, that you're never going to see them as cheap as you're seeing them now. Is that something you would agree with?
I wouldn't disagree with it. It has been a long time since we've had a broad resource bull market in small cap. there have been specific sectors that have done really well in the last few years. Like right now, uranium is probably the hottest area in small cap. Many of those companies have done extremely well. Not long ago, lithium was the choice of investors. Since lithium, most lithium names have come off quite significantly recently with the commodity price. But, you know, there's a lot of precious metals and base metal stocks in the junior market in Canada. And those have not generally been in a bull market since 2010.
I mean, we do see the occasional spike. For example, you mentioned lithium. That was obviously a hot area, seems to have then sold off again. Now everyone's getting very keen on the uranium market. Is it difficult to really predict, you know, which of these specific subsets of the mining sector are going to suddenly explode like that?
It's sometimes hard to get the timing right. You would have thought that the precious metal stocks would have responded a little better to the increase in the gold price. There's been a bit of a divergence in recent months with the gold going above 2,000 per ounce, and the junior gold stocks have not really done much.
And when you yourself are looking at small caps, I mean, what is it that you look for from a company that you like to invest in, and what are the things the boxes that you're really looking to tick when you're analyzing the Canadian small cap market?
Generally, I like, well, on the resource side, I like something that's somewhat unique, like high grades are catch people's attention in jurisdictions that are safer. Like I've been a lot more focused recently on North American assets, for example. The management team is very important, and track record there. And also the share structure. Often some of these junior companies in Canada, they're put together by promoters, and there's a lot of cheap shares outstanding. And I've learned that no matter how good the asset is and then the company fundamentals, it all can be ruined by some promoter that's got very cheap shares and doesn't really care what price he gets out at.
What's your feeling on warrants? Because I see that a lot of these junior miners have a lot of warrants.
Yeah, well, warrants are often included in a financing to as an additional sweetener for investors, to an incentive to invest. It's unfortunate, though, that the Canadian junior market now is there's very few funds that take a longer term approach. And so you have many hedge funds that buy into these private placements and immediately try to lock in the position by selling the shares and just riding the warrants. And so that often creates a situation where the share price declines below the deal price initially, where some investors are happy to take a loss on the stock and so they can keep the warrant. It's all about minimizing risk. So we take a different approach. We try not to do that as much. We try to find good situations where we can hold longer term and do multiples on our money.
And do you look at IPOs at all, new companies coming onto the market?
We do, yeah, IPOs. There's a lot of RTOs, reverse takeovers.
And if you're, I mean, I talk to a lot of mining CEOs, people with, you know, Canadian listed mining companies. They're always dying to talk to fund managers. What's your kind of advice to companies like that in terms of making themselves more successful, more attractive to the fund management community, and what can they be doing wrong in like basically the way they present themselves, or you know, even basic management mistakes that make fund managers avoid them?
I don't usually coach the management teams. Like a lot of them are proficient in their experience in junior markets, but on occasion there's sometimes I get frustrated by press releases that don't really tick the boxes that investors are looking for. Like they omit some obvious points that should be made in the press release. I think that the press release would be much better if it was written that way.
Do you think they're a bit dry sometimes, some of these releases? I mean, we see a lot of them here on the Armchair Trader. Some are very good. Some you have to really work hard with to actually find out what the company's saying. And frequently I've noticed that there's a lot of good news buried deep down inside the press release, usually on page two or even page three. I mean, that must be frustrating.
Yeah, no, if it's properly written, it would be in the title or the first paragraph, because often investors, you know, there's so much information these days, like they don't have time to read everything word for word. You've got to get their attention immediately or it's going to be missed.
What's your view on private placements where the company is raising additional money? Again, we see this a lot in the junior mining space where they go back to existing shareholders. This is an already listed company, one that's already IPO'd. Is that something you're a fan of or participate in?
Private placements? Yeah, we do a lot of private placements. I like getting the warrants. I prefer when you have longer term players in and you don't have a bunch of fast money hedge funds that depress the share price. But for us, the warrants provide a lot of leverage to the investment. If the company's successful, the warrants can be very lucrative.
And when you were on the panel back in November in London, you were actually sounding cautiously optimistic about the prospects for Canadian small caps market more generally. Can you explain a bit more about that? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, there's been several major cycles in the Canadian junior market. What I look for is the magnitude of the decline and the time. So as I mentioned, the market peaked in early 2021. So we're 3 years into a downturn in the Canadian junior market. And so that's a good length of time. And the market is down over, peak to trough is down 54%. And we're not very far off the bottom. So I think we're in that zone where you would expect to see a major bottom and a bull market in small caps emerge from.
And you've obviously been trading this market for quite some time. Have you ever seen a sort of a bear market of this kind of length and magnitude in your career?
I have, yeah. There's been several. Small caps are more volatile than the large caps. Typically, the market has gone down close to 80%. The prior drawdowns that we've seen were in the Canadian market were 2011 to 2015, which is close to 5 years, and a minus 80%. But that was coming off of a very, very strong rebound from the financial crisis. So it was at a higher level. We saw another drawdown when COVID broke in early 2020, but the markets rallied strongly from the spring of 2020 into early 2021. It was quite a strong move. And here we are again in another drawdown. So I think we're very close, that's my view, to a significant low in small cap.
And just talking briefly about some of the other sectors in the Canadian small cap market, I look at it regularly myself and occasionally see some sort of higher quality opportunities out there. In terms of the sectors I've noticed, for example, life sciences and the tech space both seem to have some potentially quite good opportunities. I've noticed, for example, in the online gaming / software development space, there are some interesting companies as well. Are there any sectors from your perspective that you think are particularly strong or well represented in the Canadian small cap space?
We do a fair bit in biotech, and that's where I've been focused more lately. Starting in December, we started to get quite active in, actually with more of a focus on the US biotech names. There's they have better liquidity, and there's several companies that were trading significantly below cash value per share. So we bought into some of these, and that index, the XBI is the index that tracks the biotech in the US, and that's gone up about 50% since the end of October. So it's been, prior to that, it was in a very strong bear market, like most of the small caps. But it's one of the first to emerge. So we've been fortunate in getting some nice winners in that space. The Canadian names in the biotech, some have participated, but they've lagged a little bit. The liquidity is not as good in Canada for biotech.
Yeah, I've noticed with some of my sort of small cap screens for Canada, there have been some life sciences companies cropping up, relatively small ones, but there does seem to be some very high quality stuff out there, particularly well managed, not too much debt on the balance sheet. And that was something I was going to ask you about as well. I mean, when you're looking at stocks, what's your attitude towards the debt that the companies are carrying as well? I mean, what level of debt do you find is tolerable from your perspective?
Most of the companies I look at actually don't have any debt. Like when you're looking at micro and small cap companies, it's often not advisable to have debt. They finance mostly with equity, so it's not really a concern.
Do you pay attention at all to how long the company's been trading? Because again, I've seen some small caps that are, they've been going since like the 1970s or 1980s in the Canadian market. So they have a long track record. They may not necessarily have been on the stock market for that long, but you can tell that they've been profitable for quite some time. But they're still relatively small businesses at the same time.
Often in small cap, things don't work out, and the share prices go down with the cycle, and the management team has to reinvent the company. I've seen that happen many times, actually. But one thing we look at too is we do a lot of technical analysis work, because often you can have a situation that is very undervalued. But what's the catalyst? It can stay undervalued for months or years. The technical analysis is a good tool for helping to time. We can look at when things start to break out, for example, on the share price, or even more importantly, though, on the sell side. A lot of investors get quite attached to some of their companies, especially if it's been working out. And it's always, everybody says at the top, it's always going higher, but and eventually these things do peak. And the technical analysis work that we do gives an unbiased perspective on when to maybe sell.
And it's also frustrating sometimes with some very good companies I've noticed in Canada where they very high quality stock, but they tend to have very little news flow. And so consequently, the share price sometimes just begins to drift down because they haven't really said anything for a while. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be there's a level of inertia or entropy starts to set in on the share price.
Yeah, it's very important to maintain investor engagement because there's so many opportunities out there. A lot of investors just chase the shiny object, bounce back and forth, and that's not a particularly good strategy, but it's easy to get distracted and lose interest in something if there's no news for a period of time.
Now, I know what you're saying about some of these companies that seem, they're obviously a high quality company, but the share price doesn't seem to move at all, and you can end up sitting on them for literally years with a little upside, which is, I guess, one of the risks of this part of the market. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is whether you could mention any specific stocks that you like at the moment, ones that have caught your eye, or what they're feeling particularly enthusiastic about in the Canadian market.
Yeah, there's a few on the. I guess it's timely to talk about resource stocks given PDAC starts on the weekend. So we've been focused on some of the battery metals and the critical metals companies. There's a new listing that a company just IPO'd, Neoterix. NTX is the ticker, and they have an asset in Quebec, a neodymium asset that they've had very good sample results on the property. And they're going to be embarking on the initial drill program very shortly. So we're excited about that.
And PDAC is the, for those not familiar with it, that's the big mining conference in Toronto that happens once a year in March, where a lot of the listed mining companies turn up.
Right. Yeah, it's the, I believe it's the largest mining conference in the world. So yeah, the Prospectors Developers Association Conference. So it's a very busy week in Toronto.
And when you're looking at opportunities like that, do you have any in-house geological expertise, or do you consult external analysts who are particularly good at particularly some of these rare earth metals and things like that, rather than just simply gold?
We look at analyst material more for general market information. I like to speak with management directly myself, and I come up with my own conclusion on where the stock, what's it's worth. Yeah. And we do some macro work. There's sectors like that we like. Obviously, there's a big demand for batteries now with the electrification of the world. And that requires a lot of certain metals. One that we've had great success on, another junior, is EV nickel, EVNI. And that one actually shows the importance of having a good shareholder base. Like, that stock is actually up 1,000% in less than 6 months.
Wow.
The rules in Canada are, when you do a private placement, it's often a 4-month hold period where you can't sell. And so usually when there's a situation where the stock has a big run up during that restricted period, once people get their free trading shares, the stock will sell off pretty aggressively as people lock in their gains. But in this situation, it's been free trading now for a month or so, and sitting at its highs, still up over 1,000% from where they raised money last time. So that just shows that there's a good base of long-term holders that are supportive. And I think there's still a lot of upside in that one. It's an asset that's in Ontario here, potentially a large nickel resource.
And I guess, yeah, another point there is with smaller companies also to spend some time analyzing the actual shareholder register to see, you know, who is actually holding shares. Do the management team hold shares?
Yeah.
What sort of institutional investors are holding shares as well? Because obviously in Canada, you've got some very seasoned mining investors there.
There are certain investors that I've learned that I will never be in a company that they're invested in, because they are prone to selling aggressively at the wrong time, and I don't want to be caught up in that.
Right, and these are big enough investors that they show up on the shareholder register as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time today, Steve. I hope we get a chance to see you over on this side of the Atlantic again soon. I know you don't come over to Europe that often, but it was great to have you at our event in November, and obviously we'll catch up again with you soon to get some more insights on the Canadian market.
Okay, great. Yeah, it was a great event a few months ago in London, and I would like to do that again sometime.
You've been listening to the Armchair Trader podcast. Make sure you visit our website, www.thearmchairtrader.com, for your daily dose of financial markets news, and sign up to our free newsletter there.